Good morning. Shavua Tov.
Uh-huh. Shavua Tov.
How's Tony doing?
Okay. He just can't do much, you know.
No, we don't heal as fast as we once did, so it's understandable.
Well, he has two doctors this week, a kidney specialist that's local, his heart doctor, and because they only do COVID tests at MD Anderson on Saturday, we have to travel to Houston. I'm sure they're going to do it in the parking lot. We'll have to come right back.
Right. It'll be a drive-through.
I think so. They just told us we'd have a parking lot spot, so I'm assuming they'll come to the car.
Right.
So it's almost a three-hour drive and then come back. But in order to see the specialists on the that's their requirement.
Has joined.
He's already had, you know. So we have a busy week this week.
Baruch Hashem. Shavua Tov, good morning.
Shavua Tov, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Please join me in the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tati. Aleph Bet Gimel Yutaf Tzadik connects us to Ahavatinam, unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. Connects us, reminds us to guard the openings in our body, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth. Keep the negative system.
Has joined.
Na gibor dorshe yehudha kevavat shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. This sequence connects to two aspects. One is Parnassah, or sustenance, and the other is healing. Barhem Tacharem, Rachame Sitkatha, Tamid Gamlem. Tetresh, Tzaditav Gimel. Asin Kadosh, Bero Tuvcha, Nael Adata. Ketkufet, Tetunayan. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Chod, an appreciation. Yachid Geye, Lamcha Pene Zohre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence connects to foundation as well as sexuality. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yo The sequence connects to the Sefirah of Malchut, which is manifestation, and which is also the kingdom. In the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper, we will start with a L'shem Yichud. Lishemichud kutshabarichu ishkinte bit hilur himu ut hilu ut hilur himu. Liakta lishem yudhe bavavhe. Beyehuda shulim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Elohinu alena maasei yadenu kunene alena maasei yadenu kunenehu. Today we will be studying the first Aliyah of Parashah Vayishlach. This first Parashah has 10 verses. It goes from chapter 32 of Genesis, verse 4 to 13. We all know that the number 10 refers to the 10 Sephirot. Verse 4. Vayishlach Yaakov Malakim Lefanav El Esav Achiv Arza Seir Sede Edom Vayitzav Otam Leimor Kotom Run Ladoni Le Esav Ko Amar Avdecha Yaakov Im Lavan Garti Vayechar Adata Vayehili Shor Vachamor Tom Ve'evet Shivcha Yesh Lecha Lehagid Ladoni Lim Tzochen Ve'enecha Yashuvu Hamalakim El Yaakov Lemor Banu El Achicha El Esav Gam Holech Likratcha V'arba Meot Ishimo V'ira Yaakov Meot V'yetzer Lo Et ha'am asher ito v'et chatzon v'et habakar v'hagmalim lishnei machanot v'ayomer im yavo eisav el ha'machane ha'achad v'hikahu Uchaya ha-machane v'nishar lifleta. Vayomer Yaakov Elohei Avi Avraham Elohei Avi Yitzhak Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo. Yo aheda wanu heyo ha omer elai shuv le artzecha ulmolatecha ve'etiva ima katonti mikol hachasadim umikol haemet Asher asita et avdecha ki bemachli avarti et hayarden azeviata hayiti lishnei machanot hatzileni na miyad achi miyad esav Ki yare anochi oto pen yavo, vehikani em albanim, weata amarta heite veti vimach besamti et zaracha kechol hayam. Asher lo yisafer merov. That's the 10 verses in the Hebrew. And we'll now study them in the English to see what we can learn. Verse 4. Jacob sent angels ahead of him to his brother Esau, to the land of Seir, the field of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "So shall you say to my master, to Esau, thus said your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban, and I have tarried until now." This is actually a threat. Jacob is threatening Esau. How do you see a threat in these words? Because the whole world knew that Laban was the master sorcerer. And to have lived with Laban and leave with wealth, it's an indication that he defeated Laban. That's the threat that he expressed to Esau. And he added it in this next verse, verse 6. "And I have acquired oxen and donkeys, flocks, manservants and maidservants, and I have sent to tell this to my master, to find favor in your eyes." The Zohar tells us the oxen and the donkeys, the flocks and manservants and maidservants, are all different levels of negative system. And he is threatening Esav still in a deeper level. The 7th verse. "The angels returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to your brother, to Esav, and he is also coming toward you, and 400 men are with him.'" The Zohar tells us that these 400 men represented the 400 levels of negativity. And he said, "If Esau comes to one camp and strikes it down, the remaining camp will escape." I'm sorry, I skipped the verse. Verse 8. "Jacob became very frightened and was distressed. So he divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the cattle and the camels into two camps. And he said, 'If Esau comes to one camp and strikes it down, the remaining camp will escape.'" Verse 10. "And Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your land and to your birthplace, and I will do good to you.'" Verse 11. "I have become small from all the kindnesses and from all the truth that you have rendered your servant. For with my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps." Verse 12. "Now deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him, lest he come and strike me, and strike a mother with children." And verse 13. "And you said, I will surely do good with you, and I will make your seed as numerous as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of the multitude." Does anyone have any questions about the Torah reading for the Aliyah number 1?
I don't have a question. I just have a statement, I guess, just a comment.
Go ahead.
On, Okay, on verse 8, when it said Jacob become very frightened and distressed, it kind of showed me as much assurances and walks he had with Hashem, the closeness he had with him. There is still a part of a human side of us where when a circumstance has happened, I don't care what level you're on, you have that that frightened and distressed state. It shows how that human side of him kicked in. Even though he knew Hashem was in control and was always there for him and that he would always protect him, it still shows us how quick we forget that when circumstances come.
Absolutely. Well said. We always forget the circumstances. In Rashi's comments on these verses, he's basically indicating that Jacob was asking for help. And we're taught in the Zohar that Hashem wants people to ask for his help. But it is very difficult, because most of our egos say we deserve these things. We merit these things. But Jacob did not use his merit, because he felt he didn't merit it. But he did ask for a miracle. And that is something we need to learn to ask for. To ask for what we want, knowing that we do not merit it.
Thank you. That reminds me of something that I asked you a long time ago, and I'd like to ask the question. I remember, are you there?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay. I remember asking you about when praying, asking in the merit of Abraham. And I remember you told me that we had lost that merit, or it was over. I'm not quite sure how I remember it.
It's been used up, in essence.
Right. Okay. Then last night, after the Zohar reading, it made me think that we could ask in the merit of Jacob.
And that is correct.
Okay.
We can ask in the merit of Jacob, but we also may have to realize that perhaps even that merit has been used.
Okay. Well, I think it depends on the astrological time, because, you know, at times it would be in the merit of Mordecai or in the merit of Esther if it was a female situation. And I would think if that was what comes to your thoughts, and that thoughts either come from the good side or the evil side, that you would take it to be from Hashem, the good side, the positive side. I mean, that's my opinion.
Well, go ahead.
I just never feel like I merit asking on my own merit, you know, so I like to think of, when it comes to me, whichever personality or character in the Torah or the Tanakh, with that particular situation. You know, like one time I was having to pebble new dishes because my grandmother's family that was coming from France were meat eaters, and I didn't have a real pretty set of dishes for meat. And so I had to buy them and also to table them. And when we went to table them, it started to rain. And I asked in the merit of Joshua that stopped the sun, the rain or the whatever. And and the rain stopped, and we were able to tell the dishes, and as soon as we got them back in the truck, it started raining again. So it's incidences like that that, you know, caused me to ask for help with in the merit of different characters with different situations. You know, like even Rizpah, when she was shielding the birds from eating her son's bodies for months and called on Hashem, and David was told by Hashem what the problem was, and he went and sent word to have Saul's sons buried. That's all.
I appreciate what you said. It's important to realize that when we ask for something based on our individual merit, we are really taking that merit away from our children. And it's another reason why we can ask, we should ask Hashem, we should pray to Hashem and tell him what we want. But not because we merit it, but because of his mercy. That is what we are taught. That's what we were taught in the section that we're reading right now, in Vayishlach, Prayer of the Righteous.
And at times, when a character doesn't come to my mind to ask for in that merit, I ask for it. For the merit of his name.
Well said.
Okay.
But when you're asking the merit of his name, what you're doing is asking for his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But let us study the Agarat HaRamban, continue our study. This is paragraph 11. You'll find the handout on the revealed unique astrological times link underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem page. When you find that near the bottom of the unique astrological times page, when it opens up to the safaria.org website and you search for Agarat HaRamban, and then you start scrolling down, you'll see on the right-hand side, very pale letters, numbers. And that's the paragraph number. Vehewi zahir likrot batorah, tamid asher tukal, lekaima v'kasher takum. Min ha-sefer toch ha-pes la-sher le-mata im yesh bo davar asher tukal le-kaimo ut-pash-pesh v'ma-asecha la-boker uva-erev uva-ze yihiyu kol yamecha b'tshuva. Take heed to study Torah constantly so you will be able to fulfill its mitzvot. When you rise from your learning, reflect carefully on what you have studied to find a lesson in it that you can be put into practice. Examine your actions every morning and evening, and in this way, every one of your days will be spent in teshuvah, in returning to Hashem. We all know we're directed to study Torah both day and night. And we also know that we're supposed to do a cheshbon ha-nefesh, a reflection on the day's actions before we go to sleep in order to ascertain what we did wrong and can start our tissue va process for that issue. But this is telling us to reflect in the morning as well. So why would you be reflecting in the morning? And the answer is, it comes from a teaching about King David. It is said that King David never had a positive dream. And people ask, why wouldn't he have a positive dream? He was so righteous. And the answer is, dreams are part of our life. King David didn't have a positive dream because he was given the merit of cleansing negative actions through his negative dreams. This verse here is telling us to reflect in the morning as well as the evening. Remembering your dreams and recognizing what cleansing took place in those dreams for you. The 12th paragraph. Haser kol divrei ha'olam milicha ve'et ha'tefila ve'ha'ken livcha lifnei ha'makom baruch hu v'taher ra'ayonecha v'achasho ha'dibur kodem Shitotzi enu mipicha. Remove all worldly concerns from your heart during prayer. Prepare your heart before Hashem. Purify your thoughts and think about the words before you utter them. This is the most powerful verse I can think of. When we are praying, purify our thoughts and think about the words before we utter them. Today we are praying in a rote fashion, in a structured fashion. But each time we say the Amidah, each time we pray, we need to be focused on the words that we're saying and what is their meaning. Most of us don't speak Hebrew. But as Rabbi Berg taught, once you've heard the translation one time, then you never lose it. It's always in your computer, your brain, which is your computer. And so reflect on the words, and your brain will reflect what you need to be reflecting upon. Verse 13, Hu'akein ta'aseh kol yameh hayeh evlecha ve'kol davar v'davar v'lo techeta uvaze yihiyu b'yivarecha u'ma'asecha Umachshevotecha Yesharim Utefilacha Vihiezacha Uvara Unkeva kiya umkuvenet umkubelet lifnei hamakom baruch hu sheneemar tachin libam takshiv aznecha. Do this each and every day of your life, in all of your activities, and you will not come to sin. This way all your words, your deeds, and your thoughts will be proper. Your prayers will be pure and clear and clean, appropriate and acceptable to Hashem. As it is written, when their heart is directed to you, listen to them. There's much to contemplate in this paragraph. But if you direct your heart to Hashem, all the rest will fall into place. Have a beautiful day. We will have two classes this afternoon. One will be continuing our preparation for Hanukkah. And the other will be continuing the study of the Psalms. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful day and a beautiful week. Shalom Gadol.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great birthday today.
Thank you. Shalom to all.